debt, and things are going to be moving forward, even though, you know, it's a short-term kind of deal. It's not 6 weeks or anything, but it is kind of short-term. But how are you feeling about today? It's got to be a good day.
Well, I mean, I think everybody at this point is, like, relieved for the same reason you're relieved, which is that we once again took the country to the brink in a manufactured crisis that was completely avoidable, took the country to the brink, and now we've been able to, you know, no one should be patting themselves on the back because we actually did what we're supposed to be doing. In fact, not completely. So what I've been telling folks, because they asked me, well, what do you think? And I said the proof is in the pudding. We have now set up for the first time a budget conference committee. We've been stopped 21 times from actually taking this to budget. Hopefully, Congressman Ryan and Senator Murray will call that as soon as possible, and they'll begin those negotiations on how we are going to set out some broad goals for the country into the future. And I think we'll wait and see what happens in December. And I think one of the things that I'm saying is that we now have an opportunity to find out if we can behave as the United States Congress in a manner that's worthy of the United States people. And
I'm not so sure I'm confident of that. No offense to you, no offense to anybody necessarily who's in Washington, but I'm not sure with the rancor that's there right now. I mean, you're living it. You're living the rancor. You're living the distrust.
I think one of the things that happened is that everybody understands that when you have a 5% approval rating, maybe you ought to step back and start behaving differently. And that's really what you saw with the gang of the group of 14 senators that I got together with and basically started saying, look, we didn't come here to play political games. We came here to sit in rooms like this and solve the nation's problems. And so I think we're building on that momentum. We're building on that effort. And I recently was asked, you know, how do you think this has affected Senator Cruz's future? And I said, you know, Senator Cruz is one senator duly elected from the state of Texas, one senator. And I said, and if we're going to blame all of this on Senator Cruz, we're missing the mark. It is a process here that allows him to have that much power. It is people believing that they can't challenge him on his side of the aisle. And I think those facades have fallen. And so whether as a result of that and this brinkmanship that we've been in, we actually can see the country move forward, I think remains to be seen. But I certainly think there will be more people like Bob Corker, who has consistently stood up to Senator Cruz. There'll be more people standing up to him in the future.
Well, and that's the heartening thing. You know, you talk about the group of 14 or the group of 13 that you were able, a bipartisan group that you were able to work with, Senator. The heartening thing in that is that there are some adults in Washington, D.C., you and the other 13 senators, you're adults who can sit in the room. You might not agree on everything. You might not agree on anything other than this one certain issue, but at least you can have an adult conversation about it and get something done. And that's, you know, I know people always talk about Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill getting together and having a drink or a cigar and solving the nation's problems or moving the country forward. But you guys were able to do that. I don't know if you had cigars or beer in the room, but you were at least able to have a conversation.
But understand this. There was no one in that room who wanted to blow government up. There certainly were people who thought, and I think kind of all of us thought, we need to address debt and deficit. There's different ideas in that room on how you're going to do it. But I think everybody came mutually understanding that we've got some challenges ahead of us, and how do we work together and compromise? And, you know, we talked a lot about this a year ago. Can we bring compromise? And I've been fairly discouraged, but that's the one thing for me that was encouraging walking out of this process, is that there are really good people on both sides of the aisle who are willing to compromise, willing to sit in the room and really have vigorous but productive discussions about how we move forward.
U.S. Senator Heidi Heitkamp, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. This is a question that comes in via email, and I don't know if you can specifically answer it, but I'll throw it at you because she's asking me to. It says, will federal workers get back pay?
I don't know if that's in the package. We're waiting to see the language. The House voted unanimously, even though a lot of the people who voted that way wouldn't let a federal worker go back. But the House voted unanimously to give all the federal workers their back pay. And as you know, I don't think that the United States Senate deserves their pay. So we're seeing more and more members actually donating their pay to charity because we can't deny it. And that's the way the system works here. But I think it's more likely than not that those furloughed workers, through no fault of their own, will in fact receive back pay.
What is the process here? There's going to be a vote yet tonight in the Senate on this, and then where do we go from there?
There's an argument that they may vote as late as 11 o'clock tonight in the House. I actually think it's likely that they will, because the leadership has decided that next week will be in recess, and I think that'll encourage people to want to push this vote late tonight. President will sign it, and if in fact that vote happens at 11 o'clock tonight, President will get that probably almost immediately, and furloughed workers will be back at work tomorrow.
And then this is good through when? The agreement's going to be good through January 15th, and the debt ceiling will have to be, what, raised again in February 7th?
Correct. And so what we have is, but the date really to watch is the December 15th date, because that puts the pressure, and the reason why there's a difference between that December, actually it's 13th, December 13th and January 15th, is that's the date that the Budget Committee, which Kent used to chair, sets out those broad spending guidelines. They tell the appropriators, this is what you can spend in these various appropriations bills, and then those committees, House and Senate, come together and hit those targets. And that's what's been holding this whole process up. We have appropriation bills that have been decided on both sides, but they are completely different in terms of the numbers. And so we're going to know whether by the 15th of December this impasse has really been broken.
And I was going to say, are we going to go through this whole thing? Are we going to go through this whole thing again?
You know what? Maybe the best thing that happened is a lesson learned. Here, those who don't remember history, and I include the 2011, are doomed to repeat it, but this has been so injurious to the American economy. It has been so painful to the American people. I would certainly hope that, like that group of 14 senators, that people will step up. And I think you're already seeing that in the House of Representatives as well. No one likes to be at 5%. Favorability in terms of our job performance, and I think hopefully we'll see different attitudes. But like I said, I'm not promising anything until I see results.
Did the Tea Party get anything out of this? Did it accomplish anything?
No.
Will the larger body of the House of Representatives, the majority of Republicans who are not Tea Party members, will they have the courage to look at the Tea Party members in the House and say, you know what? Knock it off. We need to get something done in this country.
Well, I think you're already seeing that. I think you're already seeing that along the way. You're seeing people saying, you know, I didn't come here. I'm a person of some amount of talents. I didn't come here to make it tougher for the middle class. I didn't come here to make it tougher for working families. I came here to solve problems. And the one thing I will tell you, and you know, the way it works here, we're all pretty good friends, actually, in the Senate. And I can't tell you the number of people who just have come up to me and said, look, we're ready to work. We're ready to roll up our sleeves and get it done. I think the mystery will be what happens in the House. Obviously, I think the fallout that will be yet to kind of evaluate will probably mean more people will be inclined to moderate their positions.
Okay. Senator Heitkamp, thank you. I'm sure you've had a busy day as always, and at least we're moving forward, or it seems like we're moving forward now.
Well, and I just want folks to know that the work here, the good news is we can get back to talking about a farm bill, get back to talking about housing and housing reform, get back to talking about debt and deficit. And so I think we are really grateful for the opportunity to serve, and hopefully we'll earn back the respect of the American people.
All right. Thank you, Senator. We'll talk again.
You bet.
United States Senator Heidi Heitkamp from Washington, D.C.